The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we are back. Some big news out of Alabama this afternoon. Tommy Rees has been hired as the new offensive coordinator. He comes from Notre Dame. He played at Notre Dame. He's been there for 10 years, the last couple of years as the offensive coordinator, leaving Marcus Freeman after 1 year. Brian Kelly did try to bring his entire staff with him, including Rees, to LSU a year and a half ago, and they chose to stay there. Let's get some reaction and your phone calls here, and Art is up next. Hey, Art, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. First-time caller. Love the show.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Hey, I think Tommy Rees has a ton of upside. And where's the faith, Paul? Nobody trusts Coach Saban to make a decision?
Well, frankly, I think this was – I think the offensive side of the ball was important. But I think more eyes were on what he was going to do with the defensive coordinator, because that's the side of the ball that probably cost Alabama a shot at the national championship the last 2 years. But, yeah, I think Nick Saban has hired someone to run his system, and this guy has a big reputation. He's been in a pressure cooker, so clearly he's prepared.
Yeah, I mean, with his age, I would assume he's going to be a good recruiter. I don't know that for a fact.
But well, I would assume so, yeah. I mean, and by the way, Art, I think the two of us could recruit to Alabama.
That's true. Very true.
Well, listen, but, yeah, I mean, it's getting
– I trust his decision-making.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, ultimately, it's his decision. It's his staff. And, you know, he's going for somebody young and somewhat unknown. You know, when he brought in Lane Kiffin, the guy had a huge reputation. Sarkisian had already been a head coach. The one coach that people did not know as well was Brian Daboll, and he turned out to be, he's one of the top coaches in the NFL this year. And, you know, McElwain was known, but, I mean, Alabama can elevate your resume. And I think Rees decided after 10 years at Notre Dame, probably a good time to get out, because that program, good, but not Alabama. Thank you very much for the call. Let's continue with more of your phone calls. And Craig is up next in Mississippi. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. Hi there. I was wanting to get your opinion on a thought I had as far as like the conference games, and what I was thinking is like for the same week that you have the championship week, like say the SEC for instance, you have number one plays number one, and then after that you could have number two plays number two as far as the East and West, and of course I know they're doing away with the East and the West most likely, but then you could do number one, number two, number three, number four, and so on.
Well, Craig, let me remind you, there's a limit on how many games you can play.
Well, that's what I was going to say. With especially with the SEC, you can drop a non-conference game. Everybody complains about the SEC only playing eight. So you could actually increase it by one and drop one of your non-conference. And I think the SEC would be up for it, because I'm sure, like this year, you'd had Alabama and Tennessee actually having a chance.
Well, Craig, let me jump in here quickly before we get too deep in the weeds here. You know, you're right. The SEC is going to drop divisions. That's number one. Number two, we're about to go to a 12-team playoff in 2024. So the concept is interesting, but you would need a waiver on adding more games, and you're not going to drop games during the regular season. Television is the critical factor here. The number of games is also a factor. It probably won't happen. Thanks for the suggestion, though. I'll make sure I pass it along. Bradley is up next. Hey, Bradley.
How's it going? First-time caller, man.
Thank you.
All right, so with the Tommy Rees hire, and I wanted to talk more into the wide receiver room at Alabama.
Okay.
It, you know, we really didn't have that dominant number one right wide receiver that we've had in years past. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs led us in wide receiver yards for a long time. And I was wondering how important it is for him to actually establish that number one wide receiver with him coming in.
Well, Bradley, I think it's critical, but he also, before he establishes his number one wide receiver, he needs to figure out who the quarterback's going to be. And right now, I don't think anybody knows that, and we're probably not going to know even after spring, because there's a second transfer portal window open, and you just don't know who could pop in that might head Alabama's way. Thanks for the call. Let's check in with Herman in Charlotte. Good afternoon to you.
Paul, how you doing, sir?
We are well. Thanks for the call.
First time caller, man. I've been trying for a while. I'm so glad I'm talking to you.
Herman, awesome. I'm really glad you did.
Hey, one or two statements, sir. I just want to say thank you. You might not realize it, but I did a military tour, and I used to have you videotaped at home and sent to me so I can hear your podcast every now and again.
Oh, my.
I think it's awesome that I'm talking
to you.
Herman,
thank you. Where were you located?
Well, I was stationed in Colorado Springs, but I've gone to Iraq, Honduras, and Afghanistan.
Oh, man.
I've been around.
You have.
So I've done my time, 15 years, man. But, I just want to say thank you. You got me through some hard times just listening to you talk about sports. Now, my team is South Carolina, so my opinion that I want to get from you, or an opinion that I want to get from you is, you think Shane Beamer and his momentum he has with the recruiting now, we had an awesome class this for 2023, and 2024 started pretty good so far. Of course, they're not signed yet. So you think this could lead to one of these Georgia dynasties that we've been hearing about for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years? You think Shane Beamer and South Carolina can end up being that top dog, a.k.a. top dog up there in the East?
Herndon, they could. I mean, I think he showed it as an assistant coach under Spurrier. Then,
absolutely,
of course, he went to Oklahoma. And he's doing it again. And, you know, he's not only just a recruiter. We saw this year with that finish. I think South Carolina is a team that is slowly emerging as a potential threat to the very top. Now, it takes a lot more to get there than what they have done so far. I thought he worked miracles last year. You saw the inconsistency, losing to Florida 1 week badly and then bouncing back and beating Tennessee and Clemson.
Talk about bad nerves.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this, Herndon. He's showing he can do it. And
absolutely.
And that is, I don't know if there's a more exciting program in the country right now than what he's doing at South Carolina.
Absolutely. I used to sell peanuts at Winsby Stadium when Lou Holtz was there. I've met Deuce Staley, Sidney Rice, and all them when I was younger. And I've been in South Carolina fans since I was like 13. I'm 47. It's awesome, man. Awesome.
Well, I tell you what. What a pleasure to hear from you, and I'm so glad. Are you done with your service, or are you still in? Are you still?
Yes,
in the
sir. Yes, sir. I retired in 2010, and now I just work here in Mooresville, North Carolina, right outside.
I know where you are. Yeah, we're down there at the other end of the city. Hey, listen, Herndon, you be well. I'm so glad you made it in.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. You have a good one, sir. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Wow, what a contribution. 15 years in the military. And some of those places. We appreciate his call very, very much. Nathan is in Athens. You're on the air. Hello, Nathan.
Hi. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Regarding NIL, a quick comment and a suggestion idea. The comment is that it really would be about $150,000 at least, or $250,000 to train personally and have the staff to prepare for the apprenticeship that the universities afford these men, and not to refuse a place that you can play and love if just because you don't get the deal, because play for the love of the game. Okay, so when you said a few minutes ago regarding how to do the schedule, it occurred to me that since schedules have to be done about 3 years out at least, and the pods are a great idea, so for motivation, Craig sort of hit on it a little bit. If you scheduled, so if you were one or two in your pod, then you would be scheduled against also the best in that other group. Maybe 3 years out, you'd know you had earned a place to play the better team. Therefore, the motivation may be there to stay good, and also the other teams to get better, knowing, you know, we're going to play a better team if we are on our merit. It's a little different than the rivalry idea. That's old, not old school. It's good, but since they're changing, a 3 year out merit system may provide a basis for.
Yeah, listen, I know what you're talking about has been done. I think in soccer, But you can't do it in college football because everything has to be in theory equitable. I mean, I've seen that in Premier League, other leagues where you work that type of you can't be that impromptu in college football. The schedules have to be set, and now with the 12 team playoff, it's impossible to do. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Gary is in Tennessee. Gary, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, I appreciate you taking my call, a second-time caller, and I wanted to ask you a couple things about what I heard yesterday on your show. The first one I wanted to ask you about, on the bottom of your screen, basically, you asked a question, and I think people maybe email you. And then a particular question that came across was a question about Steve Spurrier and Joe Namath playing
right.
against each other.
Okay.
You remember that?
Vaguely.
It also stated something to the effect that Spurrier had kicked the field goal in that game, but he didn't. He actually kicked the field goal against Auburn. But the thing about I wanted to mention to you was the fact, and you probably know this since you dealt with Bear Bryant, but Spurrier was only a sophomore then. And basically, he was starting his first game in college, and Namath had the knee injury, and he only played 11 minutes. And Steve Sloan, who you probably remember,
was a quarterback.
Absolutely. He was from Bradley,
right?
In Tennessee, Cleveland, Tennessee, and those two cats ended up playing against each other.
You know, I didn't realize that. Steve Sloan at one time. He was a great player for Alabama and a coach. He at one time he was actually the favorite to take over for Coach Bryant, and he made a disastrous decision to go to Ole Miss, I think, from Texas Tech, and it was never the same. He ended up being the athletic director at Alabama in 1987. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls on a very busy afternoon with news from Alabama, news from the SEC, at least reports are that Oklahoma and Texas will wait another year, the year they're supposed to come in, not earlier. More on that in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back in here. We have guests coming up in a few minutes. A lot of news happening today with the Reese hire and speculation about Oklahoma and Texas. More of your phone calls right now. And let's talk to TG up next. How are you?
Hey, great, Paul. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Just a quick quick comment and question, maybe a couple questions, but this is good stuff you're having on NIL because I'm still trying to get my head wrapped around it, as I'm sure a lot of other people are. But NIL originated out of a Supreme Court case. Is that correct?
Well, the genesis of it really has to do with the Ed O'Bannon case. Which was about a former UCLA player capitalizing off of his likeness. And
right.
The Supreme Court case from a couple of years ago, the Alston case, is a little bit different, but everything gets merged together. The most significant part of that case was one of the opinions by Brett Kavanaugh pretty much told the NCAA, quit trying this act, because we will shut you down in terms of trying to act like athletes right. are not entitled to money.
So the NCAA has now turned it over to the states. Is that correct?
Well, the NCAA turned it over to everyone because they didn't do anything. The NCAA right. as a body could have acted on this for years, but they had a president who said the players will be amateurs will make money over my dead body.
Right.
Well, he's on his way out. And what happened was individual states started. California started it. And others followed suit, and so all these states started making laws, and now everyone is saying, you know what, since the NCAA didn't do anything, let's go to Congress and have them bail us out with a universal rule.
Well, yeah, nothing good ever happens with that.
By the way, the reason the NCAA was afraid to do a legislation is they thought they were going to get killed in court, which, by the way, they would have, so...
Probably so. And another question, will these schools, let's say university, will they have to disclose how many players and what amount of NIL money that their athletes are receiving?
When you have these collectives, which are not, they're unofficial arms of the school. Let's not kid ourselves. Yeah, I think there's an accountability.
Right.
Everything needs to be accounted for.
Yes. I agree. And I don't know. When I first thought about this, I thought it was maybe a good thing. And after having been a Division I, I played college athletics and. I'm not so sure anymore. I think it's going to dilute the game and take away from the true meaning of the game. But that's another that remains to be seen. And I understand what you say about boosters. I went to UT and my son did, and the Haslams and the Mannings, and man, they do a lot for the university. And but anyway, next question is, why do you think it took UT so long after Fulmer to find a coach, and why do you think the program was in such disarray for so long?
Well, TG, I think it comes down to chaos on many levels, and ultimately I think it started at the top with the president and the chancellor, and I think there was such ineptitude in that position, and it trickled down to the athletic director, and you can just think about all the changes that have gone on, and then I think booster influence. So let's go back to... What was it when the school tried to hire Greg Schiano? Rightly or wrongly, you had booster involvement. There was a stampede to refuse, and I think that hurt the school. Now, in hiring the present athletic director, they went to a different model. They went to someone who's tried and true in the industry, and he brought a professional approach to the campus for the first time in a long time.
Well, he seems to have it right, and I've met the chancellor. My son was a scholar there, and just recently graduated. And I've actually met the chancellor. She's a really neat person.
I agree with
and
you.
And so I think they have a lot. I think they've finally got it figured out. I just was curious if why it took so long. But,
TJ, I think it's also a confluence of a number of things. And I mean, if I could point one thing out, so Fulmer gets run off, okay? You bring in Lane Kiffin.
Right.
And by the way, Lane Kiffin was a pretty good selection, except he left after 1 year. And instead of taking a deep breath, the school overreacted and brought in Dooley, who was an abject disaster. Butch Jones was not a complete disaster. He had a couple of good seasons.
No, he wasn't. He was a good man, I think. You can go read what Al Davis said about Lane Kiffin.
Well,
if you want to go read.
Yeah, no, I mean, Kiffin, I think Kiffin was a mistake because he was too young and inexperienced. Hey, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. We have to go to a break. We have a guest waiting. We have a lot to do here in the final 90 minutes of our program, and we'll get some reaction on all the big events of the day. It's Chris Marler. He's coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is out, has not been confirmed, although it's going to happen. Tommy Rees hired by Nick Saban to be his offensive coordinator, and we're going to get some more reaction by a man who is never shy about reaction, Chris Marler joining us. Chris, what a pleasant surprise to see you in good spirits. Not a surprise, but a welcome. Good afternoon.
I appreciate that, Paul. I mean, I will say I think I'm the only person that grew up as an Alabama fan that has not immediately thrown out a giant overreaction and terrible take about a coordinator they probably know nothing about. So I am in good spirits. It's good to see you.
Well, help us because, no, I don't know. I mean, I remember when he sat on the bench or played briefly, Chris tweeting, Bama fans acting like they know a single thing about Tommy Rees before 2 hours ago are the actual worst. Chris, I think Bama fans by the end of the night. So I heard from some earlier today who said there's no way they can hire Tommy Rees. This is a bad hire. But already it's changed. I don't know whether right. It was your influence or the fact that Nick Saban told any Bama fan if they tweeted negative thoughts that they would have to, you know, go into timeout for a couple of weeks. So tell us whether Bama fans should like this or not.
I think Bama fans are going to just do whatever they want to do in terms of their own happiness, usually just find a way to not be happy. Because here's the thing. I think, like, I stand by what I said about Tommy Rees, and partially because, like, again, like, I chair for Bama, and I'm in the media, and this is my job, and I don't watch Notre Dame games, okay? So, like, it's okay if you don't know anything about them, but the overreaction to it is something I think all fans do in general. But Bama fans specifically, you didn't want Bill O'Brien. You complained about Steve Sarkisian when he was there. The Dabble experiment was good because that defense was so great, but you weren't going to be happy with almost anyone you got unless it was somehow Kiffin or Sark, and that's about it. So I get the fact that it's not a sexy hire, right? Like, it is about, like, as sexy as pantaloons, to be honest, because nobody saw this coming. The other part of it is I think Bama fans are in this very weird kind of, like, limbo of, well, we've been taught to, been like, you know, trust the process and trust Saban. He always figures out a way because none of us knew who Jim McElwain was, and that worked out. But at the same time, it's like it's getting into February, and now you're starting to see some people that are turning down the job and things that you wouldn't really have seen in, you know, before. I think the overreaction is normal. At the same time, let this kid come in and give him a chance at the very least, because I don't think that he would have been hired if he wasn't a good coordinator, for one. And this isn't even the first time Saban's talked to him.
Yeah, I mean, we act like Nick Saban went down to the thrift store and said, you got anybody.
Right.
When you send a private plane to pick somebody up, especially when it's in the shadow of touchdown Jesus, you're sending a message. Well, let me get to the other part of the equation here, because Bama fans had to exhale today when they saw the report that Todd Grantham was going to the NFL. Now, that's a decision I think that would have gone over really poorly. He's had a lot of jobs, but because of the last experience, nobody likes him. So where does Alabama go now for the DC position, which in some ways is more important?
I think it's in a lot of ways it's more important. And that's the thing that's so weird about the reaction to the offensive coordinator, because at bottom line, in my opinion, you're going to have some sort of natural talent drop off at some point, right? Like I talk about all the time, we see at Clemson what they had with their receivers and their quarterbacks. At some point, no matter how many five stars you bring in, you're going to have a natural talent drop off. And I think Bama is probably going to experience that a little bit with the coordinator position, most likely. The defensive coordinator position is the position that matters. Like, it's great that it's kind of become like a foregone conclusion for Bama fans, like where this narrative and idea is shifted completely from, you know, in the past it was like, well, you know, as long as we put up 11 points, ball game, because the defense is going to shut everybody out. Now it's like, well, we got to put up 40 or it's going to be a bad game. We didn't, you know, we weren't efficient on offense. I think the thing with the defense is you look at what happened last year against Tennessee, giving up 51 yards in crucial situations. You give up a lot of big plays and like third and long and things that are very uncharacteristic. Where do they go? I was convinced that it was going to be Pruitt as an analyst and Grantham was going to be a puppet, because you cannot put Todd Grantham as the face of any part of your program. Him leaving to the Saints, especially as a lifelong Falcons and Alabama fan, Merry Christmas to me. I do think at some point you're just going to see what Saban has done a lot of times, like when you say the game's passing by from NIL or recruiting and he throws, you know, signs 9 5 stars. If you think that Alabama and Nick Saban aren't going to just throw an absolute enormous bag of money at whoever in the next, like, I don't know, week or two to get the guy that they need for that position, like, I mean, whether it's Jim Leonard, whether it's Shulman from Georgia, you're crazy, because that's exactly what I think is going to have to happen at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I know to the fan, it seems like this is going on and taking a ridiculously long period of time, but at this point, it probably doesn't really matter very much. Let me ask you about Pruitt, because everybody has had a various and different opinion on him. What do you think is going on or has been going on with him?
Man, I when all that happened at Tennessee, you know, hats off to him for giving back and doing the whole NIL thing before it was even around. So it's really just an innovator.
He helped us.
The fact that like I think that Tennessee, and I don't think this was a very well kept secret, it seemed like they were putting like him as the scapegoat for everything that happened because they didn't want to pay his buyout. I think he definitely did some things that were wrong for sure. But I think it's a little bit of a exaggerated sentence almost if he is still not able to come back even as like an analyst. I don't know if he even wants to do that. I would say that I think that is the guy that most or every Bama fan would want, because the defense was maybe even better under him than it was under Kirby Smart. But your next steps, I mean, either way, if he's allowed to be hired, he's not allowed to be on the field, he can't recruit, he definitely can't come within at least 100 feet of a Chick-fil-A or McDonald's bag. So I don't know. I don't know where they go.
By the way, I don't know. I'm not sure what those analysts do. Have you ever spent a day in the life of a Bama analyst? I mean, do they have their own desk? Do they have to bring their lunch? Are they allowed to go to the cafeteria? What's the deal?
I pray there's a cafeteria and he makes them all wear backpacks for sure.
Okay.
I think part of my job title is actually analyst. So I would assume what they do all day is probably wake up an hour or two after they should have and just tweet into the void at angry fans from around the SEC. That's what I do.
Tell us this. The big story earlier today before the story broke was Oklahoma and Texas now seem to be coming into the NCAA, the SEC, when they were originally supposed to, although no one really believed that they would be coming in 2025. We all thought they'd be here earlier. It seemed to make sense. I was upset when I heard this news earlier, but I've calmed down. I'm like a Bama fan once I got my guidance from someone like you. Does it really matter when they come?
I mean, not really. I think it was a surprise, right? Like, because I remember when this news broke, because it was during media days, and it was like, awesome, thank you for not having any sort of hint about this happening. So now all of our days have gotten like just exponentially longer. But I think when the news broke, there's so many things that we still haven't even ironed out the details to, like what the schedule's going to look like, and I'm sure all that'll be in place. The surprise here is the fact that, like, I've said this forever, but strictly in terms of coaching contracts, money's not real in college football. It's absolutely not a real thing. And you kind of see that with NIL, but really with the coaching contracts, I mean, I'm pretty sure Auburn might still be paying Terry Bowden at this point. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they will buy out anything and throw any amount of money to get a new person in place and what the boosters want. TV money is apparently very real. And these contracts they have that are just in the hundreds of millions of dollars, I think that's a pretty large hurdle to kind of jump over. And I also think that part of this might be a little bit of Fox in the Big 12 figuring out ways to, like, you know, kind of still be petty and be upset with the fact that Oklahoma and Texas, they're two moneymakers and biggest brands of the conference, are leaving.
I agree with you on the brand part, but considering Oklahoma seems to be in some decline, Texas, in spite of recruiting, has not really done much on the football field. Waiting another year at this point is not going to affect the SEC, is it?
I mean, if I'm Texas and Oklahoma, maybe what was really happening the whole time is they saw what happened out in LA in January, and they wanted absolutely zero part of that. Because I don't know if leaving an October schedule of Kansas and Iowa State and trading that in for trips to Death Valley and the Swamp, and then like mixing in like Georgia and Bama at home, I wouldn't want to do that either. I don't know what the holdup would be, but there are a lot of logistical things that, again, I'm sure Greg Sankey's a smarter person than I am. I mean, it's close, but still, he's a smarter person than I am.
I will say, just to break the tie here, I think he is.
That's fair. I'm not going to be mad at you about that, Paul.
He comes on, he's got a much better backdrop than you do.
Don't even start, because I spent like hours on this instead of doing the research on the actual coordinator stuff. So now
can you help me with something?
Absolutely.
Maybe it's Friday. Maybe it's another hour before we're out of here. But what do you have? Those bottles over your left shoulder. Or is it? Yeah.
So this is my Bill O'Brien box. And these are things that this is where I go to kind of clear my head when it's, you know, okay, I don't know.
What do you have? Can you share what kind of brands you have in the house?
I mean, no free ads. We've got Fireball, of course, because I'm a child.
Okay.
Bullets, Tito's. I don't know why there's Malibu here, but that's also here. There's a peanut butter whiskey in there. There's a lot of stuff.
Peanut butter whiskey?
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if you love calories and you love bourbon, you will love that.
Well, I might have to grab some of that. Before you go, I want to ask you about the upcoming SEC season, because we have a lot of people on who seem to be in love with LSU right now. I talked to an LSU friend today, and he said he's not buying it. Maybe LSU history would preempt that. But, I mean, do you really believe some of the people that have said that LSU should be picked ahead of Alabama this year?
I'm glad you brought this up, because I was thinking about this yesterday. It's very early in the offseason, and Brian Kelly is a tremendous coach, did a tremendous job in year one. He, you know, kind of outperformed what I thought he would do in year one. And also, Jaden Daniels is a lot better than I thought. There's not a bigger, I think, like, bloated or facade of a resume right now, I think, than LSU going into next season. Because you look at the way that season, like, kind of played out, right? They beat Alabama by 1 point in overtime. It's the second time they beat them in 11 years. And I've already heard the takes flying off, like, from Baton Rouge of, you know, Bama, we're going to own Bama now because we have Kelly, who is the head coach for their new offensive coordinator, and blah, blah, blah. You think about what happened after the Alabama game, okay? And just tell me that the entire offseason is not based off of their bowl game win and beating Bama. They went to Arkansas and won by 3 points against a 6-6 Arkansas team, and that game came down to the wire. Then they went to College Station and somehow lost by double digits to Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M. And everything was still in play for them, like, to potentially backdoor themselves into the playoff. I'm not sold on them, that they have a lot of returning, firepower on offense. But I really think, I mean, you're talking about a couple of plays where they could have been just an afterthought of 8-4, maybe 7-5. And Brian Kelly is immediately, you know, the narrative on him is, you know, we told you he wouldn't last in the SEC versus, you know, kind of getting propped up to being a potential, you know, some dark horse for the national championship. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, because sometimes these things start early in the year, and by the time we get to media days, it's cemented. Finally, do you see anything else that you're really hot on in terms of the upcoming season? The false narratives versus real narratives. What do you see?
I will say I think that going into this upcoming season, The Todd Monken thing at Georgia is really, really interesting because we've seen Kirby Smart win back-to-back national titles and become the best program in all of college football and be the premier. You know, they are the mountaintop now. They are. And they've done it really with like a lacrosse team, like on offense. If Monken's gone, I wonder what that offense looks like because, man, he has been just like an absolute just like gift to that program. And some of the offensive plays or play callers they had before him that they threw a lot of money at were really, really not anywhere close to what they were hoping for. I've heard that Bobo is probably going to slide in if Monken goes to Tampa Bay. I just don't – like if we're living in a world where we're going to convince ourselves that Mike Bobo – and Will Muschamp are like the brain power behind like, you know, having a three-peat. I'm not exactly sold on that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just tore up my Vegas ticket for a three-peat after you told me that. I mean,
well, we'll get another one. We'll go out there together, Paul.
Okay. Hey, listen, we won't keep you. I know you got a busy weekend ahead of hearing from LSU fans after what you just got through saying. Thank you, Chris. Always great to see you. You come back soon.
Sounds good, Paul. You have a great weekend.
Great. Chris Marler completely trashing the LSU Nation as the weekend has arrived. We will get to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What about this from SEC Mike, Michael Bratton? This came moments after the news broke that Reese had been hired at Alabama. He said February 3rd, 2023, the day Nick Saban's Alabama dynasty died. Them fighting words. Joe from Red Bay, you think it's over for Alabama now that you agree with SEC Mike there?
You know what, Paul Feinbaum? And Roll Tide Road, my friend. But no, he's an idiot, Paul. What dummy is going to come out and say this right here, Paul? And I'm going to say this. That last guest you had on Chris, I'm convinced that's Matt in San Antonio. I mean, they sound just alike. And they look like they drink just alike. That's got to be him. But Paul, dynasty over with. Hey, you know why we got Reese? So we can pump our offensive line up to push him off the ball so we can run the damn ball, Paul. That's the only reason we hired him. We got, you know, passing game. When it starts demising, you got to run the ball. And that's the reason demising. We got him. So this dummy that come out and said this right here, Paul, you know, I wouldn't mind.
Hey, can we hold on one second? Right, can we show that again? I want to make sure that Joe from Red Bay – got a good look. This is Michael Bratton, SEC Mike. He's been with us many times. Feb 3rd, 2023. This is in the aftermath of the Reese hire, the day Nick Saban's dynasty at Alabama died. Wow. That is quite an indictment.
I need to take my belt off and strap his ass, Paul. He needs a butt whooping. He needs a butt whooping big time because the dynasty ain't dead, Paul. I mean, so you'd miss a game or two here and there. It happens to everybody. But this dummy, just because we hired this Reese guy, I like this Reese guy. I think he's going to come in and say, hey, we need to smash mouth football this thing like Bear Bryant did. So he's going to bring in a mixture of Bear Bryant and Nick Saban. And so, hey, this clown that come in and said the dynasty is, hey, maybe it ain't the dynasty it once was.
Well, Joe, you will be. You will tell me. I mean, the fact that Georgia has a shot at winning three straight. I mean, you do have to admit the dynasty is in some peril, don't you?
Well, we just got to hope that Georgia, they got a cakewalk this year. We just got to win our games, and then we can put our foot right up in their seat of their britches, Paul. And we can sell that right there easily. You know, Georgia, they can claim, you know, they won the national title without having to play us. And, you know, Alabama plays, we usually play pretty big, you know, in big games. So, Georgia, there's no way, Paul. There's no way. I'll bet my Well, I can't bet my house because I rent an apartment, but I'll bet my apartment that Alabama would beat Georgia. Alabama will beat them, Paul. We'll beat them like a drum. I'll bet my truck on it. I mean, it's a 2004 Chevy truck, but I'll bet my truck that we'll beat Georgia if they get the chance to play us. I mean, I wouldn't bet my life on it. You know, I'm not that dumb. But Georgia, you know, they're kind of lucky, you know. But Alabama, we're going to be just knocking, you know. And I want to say this, Paul.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.